All right, everybody, welcome to the 28th episode of the podcast, dude. I am joined today by my good friend, Sean McCabe. Sean, how are you today, sir?
Hey, Aaron. I'm happy. Any day I get to do a podcast with you, I'm doing great.
That's really nice of you to say, man. So this episode is going to be a little bit special. It's not going to be a traditional episode. The Sean West Network, I think I've told you guys this before, but we normally take every seventh week off. We do a sabbatical. And so this is going out on during the sabbatical, Monday. And normally I wouldn't do a podcast episode, but some stuff happened last week, Thanksgiving, for those of you listening in the future. And I wanted to talk about it. So the title of this episode, getting back on track with podcasting after significant life events. So this is going to be just more of a conversation. I don't have a ton prepared for this episode, but I'm hoping you'll find it valuable. I really kind of wanted to do it to explain why my podcast episode did not come out last Monday.
So you have not podcasted since this significant life event.
Yeah, significant life event. And all right, so let's just go ahead and dive into that. The last podcast episode I recorded was Monday, November 23rd, which it was 3 days before Thanksgiving. Funny enough, the topic of the episode was consistency. And the listeners will be able to hear this next week, next Monday. When you're listening to this, it'll come out. But the topic was consistency. So what happened? Monday, I did my podcast episode in the morning, recorded the show. It went great. And a couple hours after I got done recording, I got a phone call. One of my brothers, and he had told me that my dad had choked on some food at a senior center and had asphyxiated and was en route to the hospital. So needless to say, this was kind of a bummer for me. And so I dropped what I was doing and I headed over to the hospital. So I guess I should explain. This is not easy. I should explain a few things about my dad. One, he had a stroke about 8 years ago. He's pushing. Okay, well, I don't know how to do this. Spoiler alert: my dad died last Saturday. There's not a great way to say that, but he ended up passing away from this. So, but if I can go back a little bit and give some context, he was pushing 70. He'd had a stroke about 8 years ago. His health was in decline. It was one of those situations where we were not expecting him to get better. This was not really a surprise. I'd kind of been expecting it for a few years. He'd been more or less handicapped to the point to where my mom was taking care of him full time. Didn't make the situation any easier. So I spent most of Thanksgiving week at the local hospital. He never fully regained consciousness after asphyxiating because he was technically dead for a couple minutes before the paramedics performed chest compressions to get his heart going again. And so needless to say, it kind of messed my week up. It was really hard to focus on anything. It was really hard to pay attention to anything except the fact that my dad was in the hospital and I was upset. My entire family was upset. We weren't sure about his condition because the doctors, they basically put him in a deep freeze and they weren't able to tell us much about what was going on with him, what was going to happen. It's a new medical procedure where they chill somebody out to, like, I don't know, 10 or 20 degrees colder than they normally are to ensure more blood flow to the brain, which I guess helps with people that have suffered oxygen loss. So Thursday, Friday, we talked to the doctors and they had basically told us that they didn't expect him to recover. He was on a breathing tube and sedated. And so we made the decision to take him off the breathing tube, we had a do not resuscitate order signed, and we decided to, you know, let him go, basically let nature take its course. So Thursday,
I'm really sorry, man.
Thanks, man. It was really hard, you know.
That's extremely tough, and there's never a good time, but like right around the holidays too.
It's
like
the worst.
I mean, on the one hand, I guess it's kind of good because I'm imagining you were planning to be around your family anyway. Like you were together with your family when it happened, right?
Yeah. Cause it happened, late Friday night, basically 12.
And were you with your family at that time?
Yeah. Well, So go back. We spent Thanksgiving evening together. We talked about this stuff Thursday night. And then Friday we all met at the hospital to say goodbyes and to, do some remembrance and talk about our favorite memories and all that stuff. So that was really cool. And so that was Friday. I was really, really exhausted come around 5 o'clock. And I remember I told you that the doctor said it could take, they were expecting anywhere from 1 to 7 days for him to pass. So Friday night, about 5:30, I was really tired. So I went home and I only live about 30 minutes from the hospital. So around 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, I don't remember when, but I passed out sleeping pretty hardcore. I'd done something a little unusual and left my phone on my computer desk instead of on my bed where I normally keep it. And I'd woken up out of a deep, deep sleep to the phone ringing. And I don't actually remember picking up the phone and answering it, but I did, I guess, kind of in the middle of that like deep, deep sleep state. And it was one of my younger brothers. And I said hello, and he said, "You need to get to the hospital." And I said, "Okay." So I jumped in my car, started driving. This was like 12, basically around midnight. And they texted me when I was about halfway there, and they told me that my dad had passed. So at that point, I went and I hung out at the hospital for maybe an hour or two, but there wasn't anything to do at that point. So I went home. So it was a rough week. Needless to say, I didn't get to spend a lot of time on my podcast that week. It was really hard to. And so
I just want to say on behalf of your audience, everyone completely understands. And I'm not sure if you're struggling with the, you know, missing the podcast output, but this is a big deal. And maybe you were about to talk about how that affected your podcasting thing, but I mean, life stuff comes first, and everyone absolutely understands and supports you and has your back. Like, I just don't want you to be worried about that at all. Like, this is really tough.
Yeah. And you had said something to me when I was talking to you about it that it really, really helped, and I wanted to thank you for it. You'd said basically, you know, take as much time as you need. You don't need to. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to explain this to anyone if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And that was really nice for me, because I think I don't struggle with it too much, but in certain situations, a lot of us feel like we're not doing enough, or we feel like we should be doing more. And this is something I wanted to talk about in a situation like this. One of the things that really, really helped me was knowing that it was okay to take a break. Like, there was, I probably could have tried to work on the show, but I recognized in advance that my mindset wasn't in the right place. Even I was already feeling a little bit better by the following Monday, but I knew that I wasn't going to do a show this past Monday like I normally would, just because I was still a little bit off. You know, I'm still processing. I'm still thinking. I'm still grieving. I'm still kind of all over the place when it comes to how I feel. And so podcasting is one of those things. I talked to you about, I was like, I'm not going to do it this week. and you were completely on board with that. And I really appreciate it. And that was really helpful for me. So, you know, if you're in a situation where something similar happens, something that's out of your control, something that's really awful, like, it's okay to take a break.
Yeah.
And then something else I want to talk about is, like, allow yourself to feel crappy for a while. These things, we all go through, we're all going to go through losses. We're all going to lose people. There are going to be tragedies that happen. There are going to be awful things that happen. And just know that it's okay to be upset. Like, it's okay to feel crappy. That's a natural response. And part of me, I don't know. I struggle with feeling like I should have been more upset, or I should have been more distraught. But like I said earlier, I kind of been expecting this for a couple of years because my dad's health had been in decline. So I'm really focusing on allowing myself to feel what I feel. But you know, I do want to move forward too. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit too. So the main things I wanted to say coming out of this situation, first off, if something terrible happens, allow yourself to feel crappy and take a break. It's okay. Deal with the things that need to be dealt with, you know? I needed to spend time with my mom. I needed to plan out stuff that needed to be done with, you know, the van that she had for my dad and like house situations and stuff. That's stuff that's going to come up, and that's, you know, it's important stuff. So I made it a priority. And then I really wanted to be there for my family, you know? So I took some time off. I spent time with them. But getting back into it, because before last week, before all this stuff happened, I was really, really, really happy with where I was in life. Like my day-to-day schedule, my weeks, my situation, like I was really stoked on it. It was great. I had a routine. I'd go to sleep fairly early. I'd wake up fairly early, get a lot of writing done. I'd get a lot of work done. I was being really productive. I had a regular exercise schedule. And then when all this stuff happened, everything just blown up. I said in the chat earlier, I was having to stay weird hours at the hospital. I was not getting sleep, so I was staying up till 3 or 4 in the morning. It was raining the whole week, so I wasn't really getting much exercise. And so I recognized that part of the reason that I was upset because my dad died. That makes sense. But then I was also feeling kind of crappy because I wasn't getting enough sleep and I wasn't getting enough exercise. So knowing those things, recognizing them, and then not beating myself up about it, but just understanding that when the opportunity came, I needed to start trying to get back on a regular schedule of sleep instead of just being okay with staying up super late, you know?
Yeah, that's tough because everything kind of compounds. Like it mm-hmm. affects, every one thing affects another thing. And, you know, when you have a tough situation, it's tough in and of itself. But then, you know, having to stay up late and it affecting your sleep affects your exercise. And mm-hmm. then, you know, then you're frustrated separately about the exercise. Like that could very easily become something that just kind of, you know, like a feedback loop, you know?
Yeah.
Like how do you deal with something like that?
Well, I can't speak to what will work for everyone, but what really helped for me was first just really, really understanding that if I, like, being able to compartmentalize the pain and the grief that I was feeling about losing my dad, and then I don't know how to explain it, but the almost like negative feelings of not getting enough sleep and not getting enough exercise, because I really do not feel good about life when I don't get enough sleep, when I stay up too late and I sleep in, it doesn't feel as good as like going to bed at 10 and waking up at 6, right? And then also not exercising. You know, I'm happiest when I'm sleeping or a regular schedule and I'm getting regular exercise. So those two things were basically compounding on each other, losing my dad and my sleep and exercise getting messed up. So I recognized that I didn't need to do anything about how I felt about my dad, about that whole situation. That was just something that I have to experience. It's something I have to go through. But I did need to do something about my sleep and my exercise. So as soon as the weather cleared up a little bit, I started off simple. Excuse me. I started off simple and I just went for a walk. No big deal, right? But surprisingly, it changes a lot. Changes your mood a lot. Even on a cloudy day, getting out, getting in fresh air, walking around made me feel a lot better. And then, you know, I did some yoga, 20 minutes of yoga, changed everything. So sleep is one of those things where it's really hard to, if you get in the pattern of staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning, it's hard to force yourself to go to sleep at 10. It just doesn't really work. But I started trying to push that time down a little bit every day, you know. Instead of 3, I would try to be asleep by 1. And then instead of 1, I would try to be asleep by 12. And so over the past week since all this happened, I have successfully gotten back to being sleepy and tired by 10, 11 o'clock. And I'll keep working on that to get back to my regular schedule, because those are things like the routine and the kind of life I want to live were things that make me happy. You know, just getting enough sleep every night, getting 7, 8 hours of sleep, waking up early and working on things, that makes me feel really good about myself. And I, you know, it's something I can control. I can't control the fact that I lost my dad, that, you know, he's gone now. I had a great life with him. He did a fantastic job with raising me. I kind of wanted to talk about him a little bit, but let me get through this section first. So the things that I can control, I wanted to start making small incremental changes towards doing more of. Another thing that really helped was writing about it. That helped me more than I could have expected throughout the whole week when all this was going down, and even still to this day, pulling out my day one app and writing every morning, just writing about how I was feeling, writing about what was going on.
And that's a journaling app for the listeners that maybe don't know. If
correct.
You know, they might have been thinking, well, what if I don't want to blog about this? You know, Aaron's talking about just personally journaling.
Yeah, and the day one app for Mac and iOS, fantastic app. It's so that helped a lot too, writing about everything. I'm sure there are a lot of things that I'm not going to publish, but I want to publish an episode. Going to do that. I want to publish a blog post about it because it's a.
I'm curious because, like, you know, I said, hey, take whatever time you need. You know, you're not obligated to share this. Mm. You don't need to tell your audience all of the details. But you know, you've decided to do this episode for someone who's maybe going through something similar. Maybe they searched and they found this podcast episode. What do you recommend to someone who's, you know, a podcaster or they've got a show and this situation happens and, you know, it's affecting them and it's hard to, you know, they need some time to process. Like, how do you think they should approach their show and maybe the downtime of their show? Like, should they talk to their audience about it? Like, how do you think they should handle it?
That's a hard question. What was really helpful for me was, you know, like you saying, first off, you don't have to talk about this if you don't want to. At that point, I think I'd only told some of the team, the Sean West team members. And I hadn't talked about it publicly. That kind of helped. I think initially it was just acknowledging that I didn't need to do anything. I didn't have to put a deadline on anything. I didn't have to do a show the next week. I didn't have to work on show notes. I didn't have to do anything related to the podcast. Just knowing that and understanding that and having you support me on that was really, really helpful. And then eventually it just made sense. Like, I wanted, there's no reason for me to hide it. And depending on the situation that people go through, maybe it's something they don't ever want to talk about. You know, I don't know. It's up to every individual person about what they want to share and when they want to share it. So for me, it was knowing that I didn't have to do anything and then accepting that I was going to talk about it. So I told the community members, I posted something about it on Twitter, and I basically just said, yeah, this, you know, this happened. My dad passed. I was very fortunate to be his son, and I'm very glad that we had the time we spent together. It's a bummer. It's not a complete shock, but I'm going to talk about it in the future. And then, you know, just thanking everybody for kind words and stuff. That was really helpful.
That's a good point about, you know, saying that people can share what they want when they want. And, you know, it's okay to prioritize taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Because as podcasters, as people who are producing shows, you know, we've made a commitment to our audience to show up, and it can be, I mean, I can only imagine, like, it can be kind of a confusing, frustrating time, because on the one hand, we've kind of programmed ourselves to show up consistently yeah. and do a show no matter what, you know, and push through and be dedicated. But like something like this happens, and it's like a malfunction or something, you know, like I'm supposed to do my show, but this, you know, this situation is so crazy. And like, I'm, you know, feeling all of these emotions, and like, I think that's good to just tell the listener, you know, give the listener permission to take care of themselves first. And, you know, you don't owe anyone. Like, it's okay to not do your show. It's okay to not talk about this right now. It's okay to take some time. It's okay to process.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was hard. The thing that I knew I couldn't do was show up the following Monday and pretend like everything was okay. No way. Like, I it wasn't going to happen. And I think for a lot of people, part of me wanting to do this episode was to talk about it, was to get it out there, to let people know that this is something I'm going through, and it is just a stage of life, and things are going to go back more or less to normal, and I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, because the things I was doing before made me really happy, and so I want to continue doing those things. And one of those things was my show, and mm-hmm. talking to people, interacting with people. I still love doing that. That's been a huge help for me, is just getting to talk to people in the community and on Twitter about things not related to my loss, you know, just about life stuff, just being, knowing that there's some kind of normal feeling out there was really, really helpful. So writing was really great for me. I would just encourage people to take some time off. Don't feel like you need to do a show. Take some time off, spend it with your friends and your family. It's good. So, I don't know. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask me?
Well, I would like to hear about your dad if you're comfortable talking.
Yeah. So, my dad was awesome. I actually learned something about him from my mom after he passed away. I was asking her some stuff about his history, because I wanted to put it in the blog post. And I said, "What did he study in college?" And she told me that he studied industrial design, had a minor in art. Is that crazy? I did not know this. They might have told me, you know, when I was younger, but I probably wouldn't have known what industrial design was back then. But that was really cool. He was a really good dude. Kind of sarcastic sometimes, kind of a jerk. I think that's kind of where I got it from. Never in a super mean way, but usually kind of a playful way. And he taught me how to use computers. You know, one of my earliest memories, I was 3 or 4 years old. He had a, I think, what is it? It was an Apple Macintosh. I think the 128 kilobyte version. But I learned, that was the first computer I ever learned. And then we had an IBM 386 a couple of years after that. And I feel really fortunate to have grown up with someone who was kind of really into technology and looking forward at the time, and so I was really, really thankful about that.
Yeah, that's really cool, because that was what, you were 3 or 4 in the mid 80s or so.
Yeah, because I was born in 85,
late 80s. Okay,
so that would have been the late 80s, just playing with a computer. So I got really
that's pretty early.
Got pretty comfortable with it. So yeah, and then we didn't get along so well in my teenage years, but that was my fault. as I got into my 20s and late 20s, I started to appreciate my parents a little bit more. I think that happens pretty commonly.
Yeah, that definitely does. When you kind of get past that awkward stage, and you know, you can like enjoy a different kind of relationship that's, you know, more like a friendship with your parents.
Yeah. And then something else, I don't know if the listeners know this. I don't know if I've talked about this before, but you and I both come from large families. You've actually got a larger family than I do, which is very rare for me. I don't meet a lot of people. I've got 9 siblings, and you have, is it 12?
12 siblings.
You got 12. I got 9. So we got big families, and all from the same parents. You know, both my mom and dad. All the kids are theirs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's crazy. And it still blows my mind to this day that he went through life supporting that many people. Because my mom never worked. She was a stay-at-home mom. She homeschooled me and all my siblings. So just the, I don't know, what's the right word for it? Tenacity? The endurance?
It's admirable.
For him to raise all the kids, provide for all the kids. You know, we were never homeless. There were some years where we didn't have much money, and some years where we nearly lost the house that we had, and I mostly got hand-me-downs and nothing fancy when I was growing up, but all in all, I had a pretty great childhood, and I just I really respect my dad for that. I think it's rare these days to know people that are so committed and so dedicated and so giving, and you know, that's something else he was too. He was very generous, almost to a fault sometimes, but he'd always be willing to help people out and give to people. And I like to think that I picked up that trait.
I think you have, for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've got a blog post that I'm going to publish about this. That maybe I'll share a few more details about him. But that was pretty much what I wanted to share with people.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate it, and I know I'm speaking for your listeners as well.
Yeah, it's the irony of recording an episode about consistency right before something like this happens. It's not lost on me, but that was still a good show. Now I've been working on it this week, and I'm listening, and I'm like, I talk a lot about consistency, but I never address the issue of what happens when. What do you do when something like this happens?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not something you want to plan for or you even think about.
Yeah, yeah. But at least now I've talked about it and it's out there.
Garrett is asking in the chat room what your dad's name is.
Richard.
Richard.
Richard Steele Dowd.
That's a strong name.
Yes. He was a strong dude mentally, maybe not physically, you know. He had health problems, but you know, he also had 10 kids, and I was probably the most challenging kid, so I'm sure I took a few years off his life. Sorry, Dad. But good, very, very smart dude. Good mind. Also also was very into technical writing. Maybe I got some of that from him too.
You're a good writer.
Well, thank you. I don't think I'm a technical writer, but I do enjoy writing.
Well, I'm encouraged by this. So thank you. Thanks for sharing. I mean, it means a lot. Like you're an inspiration to me. So I just want to say thank you.
Thanks, man. I'm, you know, I think I said in the chat the other day, I'm mourning the loss, but I'm celebrating the life. And I just want to get back to the doing the things that make me happy and participating in the community and doing my show and doing my writing and working on my stuff. It all makes me really, really happy. So it was a hard period in my life, but got to keep moving forward and got to keep looking to the next thing. And I'm really excited about what's going to happen in 2016 and 2017.
Well, we appreciate you.
Thanks, man. So I guess we go ahead and wrap this up. I want to say, listeners, something that I've said, I think I've said this multiple times during this episode, but the Sean West community, the people in here, the people that are listening live right now, have been super, super, super helpful and kind and encouraging and just amazingly generous with offering to talk and, you know, saying, texting me and telling me they'd be willing to talk and giving me, you know, positive thoughts and wishes and prayers and stuff. I cannot say thank you enough to the people in the community. It's been amazingly helpful. So yeah, that's all I got to say about that. Thank you, guys.
They're good people.
And they really are. And thanks, everyone, for listening, hanging out. If you got any questions, you can send me an email, aaron@thepodcastdude.com. You can find me on Twitter. Say hi. You know, if you just want to wish me well or tell me sorry about my loss, that's totally great. I genuinely really appreciate that. And we'll be back. I'll be back with my show next week. Episode 29 will be out, and we keep moving forward.
Well, thanks for sharing, man. I'm glad to be your friend. Thanks for having me on this episode too.
Yeah, dude, we gotta do another episode soon.
We will.
Something a little less. I don't even know how to describe this.
Hey,
episode.
You know, it's life, and you know we're here for you. Like this is real stuff, and it's not like we're just here when everything's fun and easy. But you know we're here for you no matter what, and I appreciate you showing up and doing your show. Like I know as a listener and as someone who is a podcaster, like we take these people for granted. Because you know we work hard to maintain that consistency, like you talk about, you know, and it seems automatic, you know, it's just like a TV show that comes on, you know, of course it's going to come on, but I think it's important to remind people, like, hey, you know, we're human, and sometimes things are hard.
Yeah. Yep. Good words, sir. Good words. See, this is both a blessing and a curse for you.
What is?
You think really long term, so you have a plan, but then you also like have all these things that you want to do.
Oh, I know.
Can you just imagine if you were just like a normal person and you didn't have any goals and any ambitions? Like, you wouldn't have to think about any of this.
Dude, I'd be playing video games for sure.
You'd be playing video games. How relaxing. Like,
man,
how...
I love video games. They're so fun.
John, I got to be honest with you.
Fallout 4.
No, but my roommate did. he bought it last week, so I've got about I put in a whole 5 hours over the past week.
Yeah.
Which has actually been really, really nice. It's a fun game. I don't foresee myself beating it or really spending that much more time on it.
See, that's the trouble though. Like I just like have to be the best at everything. So I know like if I do it, I'm going to like whatever game, I'm just going to master the game, which is really bad. It's really bad.
And this one, especially because there's so much leveling up you can do and you can like manage. Okay. Did you play any of the previous ones?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So it's an open world and it's a first person shooter. Can be third person, but mainly first person. So you're going around and there's a storyline, but you can also like build and manage these settlements. It's like you meet people in the game and they're characters and they're like, they have a house and they have like a garden and stuff. And you can actually go in and craft things. I guess I never really played Minecraft, but I guess it's kind of like that.
Sure.
You can basically build structures and customize things all over the world. Like you could basically build cities in this game.
And you don't... Okay. You want to go, this is the late night after show sabbatical gaming with Sean and Aaron segment. You want to go back deep into the archives of Sean's past?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
So one day I was introduced to Minecraft.
Do you remember when this was?
Fast forward 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I did. No, not really. But like, yeah, I built worlds, man. I mean, yeah. Hours a day. Like, this, you know, this is when we had the web firm, and we would actually, we had designated breaks in the day to play on our server. we had a server, and we built worlds, man. Like, I will, you give me the resources and I'll build worlds. And the problem is it can either be real or it can be in a game.
Yeah.
And I mean, except for the few people that you get to like show your game world to, like nobody really cares. Nothing really changes in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, you feel that sense of accomplishment because they design them to be addicting. And it's fun, man. But I used to play Halo, and I got really good at Halo, and we had work breaks like designated in the day to play Halo on Xbox Live. And I was really good at the game, and I was high up in the ranks because, like, I got to be the best, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just it was bad. It wasn't what I wanted. It's not where I wanted to go. But boy, I do enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I guess I'm fortunate in that there is only one kind of game that I enjoy, and that is a game that has a very, very strong story and narrative. It's got to have a plot, so it's got to be like a novel or a movie in that you start somewhere and then you end, you go through this storyline and then you're done. I have no interest in online multiplayer games where you're just shooting people the whole time. I have no interest in building worlds. I have no interest in like micromanaging Sims. I did that a little bit when I was younger and every once in a while, but Garrett had asked, like, I played a little bit of Mass Effect 3. I got stuck on one part and I was like, yeah, whatever. I have not played Dragon Age. My favorite games have been Half-Life and Deus Ex. I think that's how you pronounce that. BioShock. Games like that. Generally, I do like the first-person shooters, but generally any game that has like a narrative like that. Is your Minecraft server still up anywhere?
No. I probably still have the files for it. Could probably go explore the world.
Yeah. Yeah,
man, so, but yeah, it's, man, that's what I would be doing. Like, I would just, I'd want to be conquering something. That's actually the McCabe crest.
Yeah, like I remember that.
Yeah, it's conquer or die.
One of those two things.
It's not the latter. Don't want the latter.
No. So I guess I'm lucky in that, like, games like Minecraft or World of Warcraft or most of the RPGs, just they don't really appeal to me. I want something fast paced. I want something with a kind of a crazy plot. So thankfully those kind of games the really good ones don't come out that often.
I'm just thinking about another life.
Another, a long, long time ago. When was that? Was that like 2010, 2011?
Yeah, that's about right. Not that long ago, man. Not that long ago. It's a different Sean.
5 years?
We've done a lot in 5 years.
No, we've done a lot in like 2.5 years.
That's true.
Everything's changed in 2.5 years.
That's so true.